setting a target date for Avondale College to open. As the new year 1897 dawned, most activities at Currambong were geared to the proposed opening of the Avondale School, announced for April 28. On New Year's Day, Professor Lacey, who had returned to Australia to assist with the new school, was, with the help of his wife, Lillian, deep into the canning of fruit for the institution, starting with apricots. A donation of $60, just received to aid where most needed, was applied toward the purchase of other fruit, peaches, plums, etc., as they ripened. There must be ample provision of fruit, declared Ellen White. On New Year's Eve, Lacey had been dispatched to ride horseback through the community to call the Adventists together for a meeting planned by Ellen White. She was determined that as they neared the target date, enthusiasm for the school enterprise should not wane. It was an excessively warm evening, with the air close and stifling, so instead of meeting in the loft of the sawmill, chairs were brought out to seat the crowd on the green sward. Ellen White spoke, seated in her carriage with Sarah McIntyre to her right, holding a lantern, and Professor Lacey standing on her left, also with a lantern. She reported that all listened with interest as she read from a manuscript and then spoke for a time, telling of the establishment of the work in different localities, where buildings had been erected for schools, sanitariums, and places of worship. In view of all that needed to be done before school could open on April 28, to accomplish the task seemed well nigh impossible. Consider, the buildings were not finished. The carpenters were complaining about their wages and threatening to quit. As previously mentioned, W. C. White, the chairman of the board, had been sent to America to take care of the Australian interests. Professor Rousseau, who had been connected with the school from the start of the Bible school in Melbourne, had returned to the United States. In addition, Herbert Lacey, who had been chosen as principal of the school, contracted typhoid fever during a visit in Tasmania to promote the school. He and his wife, Lillian, were both absent from Currambong until April. 9. Haskell, whose strong support was needed, had been visiting in Africa for several months. Metcalf Hare, the business manager of the school, leaned heavily on Ellen White, and when important decisions had to be made, she was looked upon as the senior officer in charge, a role she did not choose or covet. But those about her recognized that she had insights and experience others did not have. One day she went over to see the progress being made on the second building, which would provide a dining room, kitchen, and storeroom for the school. Taking in the overall situation, she had some questions to ask. "What place have you prepared for the boys to room in?" I asked. "The chamber above the sawmill," they answered. "Many students can sleep there, and we will also secure tents." "Is that the best plan you have?" "It is the best we can do. When the building is enclosed, our money will be expended. Have you thought of how much money it would take to run this building up another story?" Several were present. "We cannot do that," Brother Hare said, "but I wish we could." "You must do it, Brother Hare," I said. "What would the cost be?" "Not less than £100, he answered. "Then I advise you to put up the second story, and so provide sleeping rooms for the boys, and a meeting room for the church." "What shall we do?" they asked. "Why," I said, "am I too late with my suggestions? Have the preparations gone so far that it would be a sacrifice to change now?" "As to the matter of that," was the answer, "had your suggestions been a day later, we would have been at some loss." I said, "I will be responsible for the change made. If any censure comes, let it fall on me. You will be at expense of getting tents, and to the labor of pitching them. The students should not be put in the room over the mill. The influence would be demoralizing." "Now," she wrote, "we have this two-story building nicely enclosed. The expansion provided a room for Sabbath meetings and sleeping rooms for the young men. She confided in a letter to Willie. Be sure that Brother Hare is consulted in everything, and he will not move out in anything without consulting me. We move harmoniously in all our plans. Brother Haskell says it will not do for anyone to speak questioningly of anything I propose, for Brother Hare raises his right arm and says, "What Sister White advises to be done shall be done, without any ifs or ands about it." She also stated, "All who see this upper story of the second building say, 'Whatever could you do without it?' Brother Hare says he would not have taken the responsibility of changing anything if Sister White had not been right on the ground to say what was most needed. But that added story does Brother Hare lots of good."